Leviticus chapter 8, if you could turn there with me, this will probably be the last in the series from Leviticus chapter 8. I don't know, we might go farther. It's been kind of a blessing to me to study these things out. Leviticus chapter 8, and then be ready to turn over, if you will, to the book of Numbers later on. We'll get there in just a minute. We're going to see something here from Leviticus chapter 8. What we're studying is the Old Testament priest. We're studying the clothing that the Old Testament priest wore, and we're likening it to the New Testament priest and how he should act, how he should be clothed, how he should conduct himself. And so here in Leviticus chapter number 8, let's read verse number 8. This is Moses putting the Old Testament apparel on Aaron. And the Bible says he put the breastplate upon him. Also he put in the breastplate the Urim and the Thummim. I've been saved over 50 years, or 40 years. I've been alive 53 years. And I've never heard the Urim and the Thummim preached on. Anybody ever heard that? Anybody at all? Okay, that's what I thought. You're going to have that this morning. We're going to preach on this. The priests were to that section of what the priest wore. We're going to preach on that, teach on that some. And so I think you'll find it'll be a blessing. The Bible says that we're to grow in knowledge of Him. The more knowledge you have of the Word of God, the better able you are to combat the devil. And so we're going to learn something about God and who we are as New Testament priests. Let's pray. Father, this morning, take the reading of your Word, open our minds, open our hearts to the truth of the Word of God. We thank you so much for all that you've done for us, all that you've blessed us with, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We find this morning that the breastplate was the final covering for the priest. He had been cleansed, he had been clothed, and part of his clothing was the linen. Part of his clothing was the ephod, and now the Old Testament priest was covered with something called a breastplate. The breastplate was a symbol of a protection of the heart. Now, this breastplate was not to be worn in battle. It was simply a symbol. It was a symbol of protection of the heart and or the vital organs. The breastplate protected a soldier when he went into battle. It protected his vital organs. And the Old Testament priest wore this typical breastplate. And it's typical, dear friend, of you and I as New Testament believers that we guard our heart. Protect your heart, New Testament priest. The Bible says that this protector was a symbol of that which protects the heart. I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't to be used in battle because the Old Testament priest was not to go into physical battle. You know what the Bible says about a New Testament priest? We're not to go into physical battle. The Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness and spiritual wickedness in high places." When you and I, you think, I don't have an effect on the leadership of this country. Yes, you do. When you pray, when you read your Bible, when you stand for what is right, you have an effect on this country and its leaders. When you pray, God is able to move our leaders. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in high places. When you get on your knees, you can wrestle against the wickedness that goes on in Washington, D.C. You can wrestle against the wickedness that goes on in Moscow. We're to wrestle, the Bible says, and when the New Testament saint puts on that spiritual defense system and guards their heart and prays, we can wrestle against those things, the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yet sometimes we don't realize just how much effect the prayer of the smallest saint of God has. And we neglect our prayer life. We neglect to pray. We neglect to pray for our country. We neglect to pray for the wicked days that we live in. God help us to be like the Old Testament priest and be girded with a breastplate. That breastplate was to protect the heart. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart, for out of it are the issues of life." Keep thy heart, it says, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The Bible is telling us to guard our heart, to protect our heart. Be careful, dear friend, what you open your heart to. Today's Christian is gullible so much, they just open their heart to anything. They open their heart to any doctrine. They open their heart to a lot of people, to a lot of false things. Hey, friend, the Bible does not say open your heart to the world. It says guard your heart. For out of it are the issues of life. I think we ought to stand at the door of our heart, just as a guard or a sentry would stand with a sword as he guarded a temple door. You and I ought to be guarding the temple of our heart with the sword of the Word of the living God. I'm not saying that we need to live a constant skeptical attitude, that we need to live in a constant analytical attitude. But hey, friend, there's a lot of false doctrine out of there. There's a lot of sin out there. And you and I are to stand at the door of our heart with the Word of God and not let that stuff in. Too many Christians are defenseless when it comes to their heart. The Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day got on the Lord Jesus and they said, "Why, your disciples are eating with unwashing hands." And they said, "Why, they're breaking the tradition of men." And Jesus said, "It's not what goes into the mouth and into the body and is cast into the drought, into the septic system, that does not defile a man." He said, "What defiles a man is what comes out of him." It's not what goes in, it's what comes out. But let me tell you something, friend. What's coming out of our mouth is in our heart. And if we don't guard our heart, I guarantee you, if you don't guard your heart, there'll be words come out of your mouth that you'll wonder where they came from. Hey, Jesus said, He said, "You're transgressing the commandment of God with the traditions of men." We're living in a world today that has thrown the book away and got a bunch of man-made rules. Jesus said, "Don't defile the Word of God by tossing it away and in obeying the commandments of men." You're looking at a church this morning that's a New Testament church, and we're going to be based on the King James Word of God as long as your pastor's in this pulpit. Throw the rules away. Jesus said, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for commandments the doctrines of men." Vain worship? You mean there's people across the country who are trying to live right, who are trying to worship God, and they do it in vain? I didn't say it. Jesus said it. He said, "In vain do they worship me, teaching for commandments the doctrines of men." Important. What are you saying, Pastor? It's important what religion you let in your heart. Somebody begins to add to the Word of God, stand there with the sword of the Word and slice it apart before it gets in. Somebody begins to take away from the Word of God, stand there with the sword and slice it apart before it gains entrance into your heart. If you allow a false doctrine or a false philosophy into your heart, the Bible says in Proverbs 14:14, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself." The Bible says the wise in heart will receive commandments. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. See, let me make you wise to something. This book is a filter. We put filters on our TVs and filters on the radio, and the company filters you off of those websites that they don't want you to go to. Hey, put this filter on your heart. So what goes into your heart is pure. Blessed, Jesus said, that means happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The Bible says, Paul said in Romans 6:17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. If you get saved, friend, you'll have to come in a right doctrinal manner. You'll have to come before the preaching of good doctrine. The false preaching of false Christ may make a religious follower, but it does not make a saved person. The doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ, straight doctrine from the Word of God, will save you, will clean you up, will give you a good Christian life, will give you a good Christian mate, a good Christian home, and help you to live your life in a well-pleasing manner unto God our Father. Blessed are the pure in heart. Now, we've looked at the breastplate. Now we come to those two strange words called the Urim and the Thummim. What was that, preacher? Well, this breastplate that the priest wore had 12 stones down in the front. Those 12 stones represented the 12 tribes of Israel. Don't forget to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Then it had two stones that were up toward the shoulders. And these stones were called the Urim and the Thummim. And that stood for lights and perfections. Here's the key. When they needed to inquire in the Old Testament about leadership, when they needed to ask some really important questions answered in the Old Testament, the leader of the country would approach the high priest dressed in his garment of linen, dressed in his ephod, dressed in his breastplate with the Urim and the Thummim. And the leader would inquire of God and say, he would ask a question, and the priest had to face the temple. And as the priest faced the temple, the question was asked, one of those stones would glow a yes or a no answer. We find several examples of that in the Old Testament, and I'll show you that in just a moment. And so as they asked for the will of God, God would give them an answer. I would to God today that our leaders would seek the face of God. I would to God today that even our preachers would seek the face of God. When we come to Him, we ought to be saying, we desire light and we desire perfection or truth. Let me give you an example. Numbers, I had you to turn to Numbers. I'm not sure I gave you the scripture. Numbers 27. Numbers 27, here's an example of what's going on, how they used the Urim and the Thummim. Numbers 27, 15. We begin reading at verse 15. Let me tell you what's going on here. Moses has been leading God's people for 40 years. He's now come down to the end of his life, and he's going to be replaced. I'd say it's pretty important that he be replaced with the right man, don't you? It's pretty important that somebody steps in to lead God's people, who is God's choice. Are y'all with me? You know how many times the wrong man gets in? You know how many times the wrong man gets in office, the wrong man gets in the church, the wrong man gets in a place of leadership? What happens then? And Moses here, God says, Moses, you can go up to the mountain and you can look over in the promised land, but I'm not going to let you go. You're going to die. And Moses said, well, we're going to have to get a replacement for me. Here we go. Here comes in the Urim and the Thummim. Numbers 27, verse 15. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out behind them, before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, God's choice, was Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar, that is the priest, the high priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor on him, because he hadn't been completed in the office yet. Thou shalt put some of thy honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel of him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. You see that? At his word they shall go out, at his word they shall come in, and at both he and all the children of Israel with him and all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands upon him, and he gave him a charge as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses. Now, what's going on here, preacher? Joshua is stepping up to take charge. And oftentimes when a new man comes in, the people don't want to follow him. They like the old guy. They still want to follow the old guy. But listen, things are changing and leadership is changing hands. And God says, I want you to take Joshua and I want you to give him a charge. You tell him how to lead. You tell him to go before, in and out. Don't matter. You tell him to lead this people. And he said, I want you to bring him before the high priest so that we can find out and I can show the congregation through the leadership of the Spirit of God that Joshua's the chosen man. And so Joshua's brought before Eleazar, and Eleazar stands, and the question is asked, and the Urim lights up, signifying a yes to the whole congregation. This man was God's choice. Now, you say, that leaves a lot of questions in my mind, and we're going to settle those about the Urim and the Thummim. Let me tell you something, friend. As a priest of God, and I've been teaching you this, you are a priest, a New Testament priest. And you have inside of you, through the Spirit of God, I really believe every New Testament saint has a Urim and a Thummim inside of them. A light and perfection. You say, what's that mean, preacher? The Spirit of God dwelling inside of you can tell you yes or tell you no. Amen. And so many times the Spirit of God lights up and says, don't you go there. And we go anyway. So many times the Spirit of God lights up inside of us and says, I want you to do this, I want you to do that, I want you to be obedient to this, and we say no to it. Listen, God does not give us a physical sign, but the Spirit of God will illuminate something in your heart. So many people say, I want the will of God for my life. Then clean your life up, be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and bow before Him in the Spirit and ask Him what His will is. The Bible says, be not unwise, but discerning what the will of God is. You say, well, preacher, why didn't God just give us a physical sign? Why didn't He just give us two stones every New Testament believer, give us two stones and we'll just ask of God and we'll know. That's not the way God designed the New Testament priest. You see, they stopped using the Urim and Thummim about the time David began to write the Psalms. And that was a sign to us that the Word of God and the Spirit of God is to lead us. Let me say that again. The Word of God and the Spirit of God is to lead us. Don't you flip a coin over a decision. Amen, preacher. Some of you are looking. I know a guy who went on a missions trip because he flipped a coin. Don't you roll dice. Don't you just throw the Bible down and let it open somewhere. That's Russian roulette. Get in the Word of God and study the Word of God and get on your knees, Christian. You have inside of you the Spirit of God to illuminate the way. See, the Lord desires to lead you in the right way. He wants to lead you in the right way. But understand something. If we had some kind of Urim and Thummim, you know what most people would do? And I'll give an example of that and we'll close. Most people would want to live like the devil. Go their own way. Live their own desires. Now don't miss this. I'll live like I want to live. I'll do what I want to do. And then if I'm really on the important matters, I'll come to God and I'll let something light up. And I'll follow that. That's how most people would live. You see, the problem with that is when Christians begin to live a backslidden life and when Christians begin to get away from God, that light dims. Are you listening? That light dims and they begin to make wrong decisions and they begin to say wrong things and they begin to there's something is askew about their judgment. Why? They're backslidden and they don't have an answer from God. That's why backslidden Christians seem to spiral down, 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 down until they finally reach the bottom. Amen. And then God brings something about in their life and wakes them up. And then they realize it's important that I study. It's important that I pray. It's important that I stay tender and close to the Spirit of God to be led and to be guided and to have good judgment and right thinking. Oh boy. Why doesn't God give us a physical sign? I want you to turn with me to... I wasn't going to do this, but I want you to turn with me. Now I have to find it too. 1 Samuel 28. 1 Samuel 28. I believe that's the right scripture. Here's a backslidden man. This is an example of a man who was saved. But he's backslidden. And God's not speaking to him. His name is Saul. The Bible says in verse 3, "Now Samuel was dead and all Israel lamented after him." The man of God's dead. Samuel was the man of God. Saul was the king. "And they buried him in Ramah, even his own city. And Saul had put away those which had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land." Whoopee, that's good. It's great. "And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by the prophets." Here's a man... listen carefully, who thought he could live any way he wanted to live, go his own way, do his own thing. His heart was backslidden, and he thought he could just run up to the high priest and get an answer from God. Didn't work. Let's read the next verse. Let's see how far this man goes. "And Saul," verse 7, "said unto his servants, seek me a woman which hath a familiar spirit." You know what that is? A witch. "Seek me a woman that's a witch, that I may go in and inquire of her. And his servants said to them, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. Boy, now I'm going to step on some spiritual ground right here. You know what I've seen? I've seen some Christians get in a backslidden state, and they don't hear from God. By the way, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You're looking at a man, and I'll raise both hands in testimony. I've lived in such a manner that God hid his face from me. And it ain't pleasant. And if you're a Christian here this morning, that's the worst thing in the world is turn your back and live in a backslidden state. God will hide his face from you, Christian. He won't take his spirit from you, but he'll hide his face. And Saul, you know what I've seen? Saul goes after witchery, trying to figure out the future, trying to find out, hey, this world is involved in witchery so much it's unreal. And you know what I've seen? I've seen Christians get backslidden. God hides his face. They can't find the answer. And they turn to everything in the world trying to find some leadership and some guidance for their life. And those same Christians get their lives and homes destroyed. I've seen evidence of that. I've seen people let's move on before I give a wrong example that I shouldn't give. But I'm telling you something, folks. It's important. It is very important that you and I stay tender and kind and right with God, walking close to the Lord Jesus Christ. So Saul finds that God won't speak anymore. And he turns to the witchery of the world for a little comfort. And you know, when you study the story, this was a nice witch that he went to. Huh? You study the story. I kind of like this lady. She's pretty nice. She's pretty accommodating. But she's still practicing witchery. She's still in league with the devil. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Not everybody's in league with the devil is a hateful person. What are you preaching on, preacher? I'm preaching on the breastplate to guard our heart from these things, the Urim and the Thummim, like that will illuminate like the Spirit of God illuminates inside of you. You say, what's my light then? If I come to God saying I want light, I want to be led, I want the will of God in my life. Let me give you three things quickly. Jesus Christ was given as the light of the world. If you want light, you'll find light in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't turn to the weak and beggarly elements of the world. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Luke 1:79, to give light unto them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. The Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He was given as the light. He declared himself to be the light. John 3:19, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I don't need a Urim. I don't need a Thummim. I don't need a rock to glow. I've got Christ living on the inside of me, and when I follow him and look to him for leadership and guidance, he gives me light and the darkness flees. And he says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I don't have to worry about knowing God's will. I tell you, it'll hit you like a ton of bricks. God will show you, Christian, God will show you what he wants. He'll show you where he wants you to go. He'll show you what he wants you to do. Then he delegates his life to us, his light to us. Jesus said, ye are the light of the world. a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. The only way that you and I can be the light of the world is have the light of Christ dwelling on the inside of us. Now get this. You know why people come to the, when they realize that a Christian is living right, they're on their knees, they're faithful to the house of God, they're faithful to the Word of God. You know why people will often come to them for advice? They realize there's some light in them. There's some instruction in them. There's some steadfastness in them. There's some direction in these people. They seem to know where they're going. They seem to know who they are. They seem to know the answer to many of life's problems. Amen. That's why the Christian becomes the light of the world. I'm going to close here. Jesus said, John 16:13, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth." Did you hear that? When the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will shew you things to come. The Spirit will not only give you life, did you hear that? He will shew you things to come. He'll not only give you light for today, for thy word is a lamp unto my feet today, but it's a light unto my path tomorrow. And so we have light for today. We have light for tomorrow. And the Bible says that He'll show us things to come. Don't raise your hand. I'm through with the message. Has God ever showed you something that's going to happen before it ever happened? You knew it was going to happen. And the Spirit of God just illuminated that somehow. He showed you things to come. I remember one time, Lisa and I were just driving home. She was driving and I was riding in the passenger seat. And God put a message on me. I just felt His presence, and I knew exactly what I was supposed to preach. And the Lord said, "When you get home, there'll be a message on your machine from the church that you're supposed to preach it." You know, you think you hear sometimes the voice of God, and it was the pizza you had for supper last night. Sometimes you're often afraid to say anything, but I felt it so strong. I said, "Lisa, when we get home, there'll be a voicemail from thy next church. And I already know I'm supposed to preach." Was it on the machine when we got there? You see, Christian, out of the blue, I wasn't praying at the time. I wasn't reading my Bible at the time. We were driving down the road, and all of a sudden, a manifestation of the Spirit of God. There's no other explanation for that. You see, you don't realize, and I'm closing, you don't realize a Christian who is really right with God, how much God really reveals to them, how much He keeps them away from, and how much He lets them get into. And then, how He blesses them for following Him. Amen. What a blessing to follow the Lord Jesus, to be led by the Spirit, to be led by the Scriptures. And the Bible says, do you need a Urim and a Thummim? The Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I don't have no need for a rock to light up. Amen. And as I close the message, if you're here this morning and you're lost, you don't have the Spirit of God to lead you and guide you. You have a burden of sin that's never been taken away. I can't convey to you the importance of coming to Jesus Christ who is the light of the world. And letting Him wash you in His blood, cleanse you, and place His Spirit on the inside. So you'll have lights, perfection, and wisdom for today and tomorrow.